Hello and welcome to the Delicious Recipe here at 107.7 FM New Orleans Talk Radio. And I have a joint show again here with my girl, Laura Lee from the Angel Rock. And we're going into our summer solstice there. This one's called Summer Solstice Sangria. Summer wines, I guess, and stuff like that. And we're coming in and we have our lovely guest again here, Varla Ventura, that we've had on for our quarter points of the year. And there's Laura Lee again. So
notifications off. I'm getting a million messages, of course, right now. So that's why I turned it off, because it'd be going ding, 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 ding.
So Laura Lee from the Angel Rock, she's going to be joining me here again there with Varla. Say hello, Laura Lee.
Hello, Laura Lee. No, hi, everybody. Nice to see you. Nice to see you, Varla. We didn't get a chance to chit-chat before. I hope you're well.
Yeah, thank you. Hi. Nice to be here, you guys. Always enjoy talking with you.
We love having fun here.
So
I tell Dell he's been jacking my guests, my good guests.
So we come into this summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. And it's actually a very magical time. We have, I guess the whole thing out of it is that the longest day of the year, a lot of things are out there. I haven't really seen too much stuff about the lore around the summer solstice besides that fairies are around. And maybe that's the whole reason why we started a little bit late. Maybe the fairies were playing havoc there at the station.
Coming so, out of retrograde too, thank God.
Yes. And we also this year too, it's June 21st, there's also going to be a strawberry moon this year. And actually this whole year of 2021, we have the most amount of full moons this cycle that's going through during this course of this year, which is sort of interesting. But what can you tell us about the summer solstice there, Varla?
Yeah, well, happy solstice. It's absolutely true that like many of the other kind of holidays and what we might think of as the Celtic year or the pagan wheel of the year or the witch's year, the solstice is another one of the times when it's believed that the veil is thinnest. And so it's a time when fairies and other worldly creatures can cross over and run amok, not unlike Halloween or some of the other kind of high point holidays. And of course, it's the opposite of the winter solstice, which is the darkest time of year. So it's really a time of joy. It's a time of people kind of like celebrating coming out of the darkness of the prior seasons. And, you know, traditionally, it's a time when high magic is afoot and also quite a bit of mischief. So I was thinking, yes, it's quite possible that the fairies are sort of messing with us right now as we're running just a little bit behind because we're on fairy time, and fairy time is not linear. Fairy time doesn't stick with a clock like, you know, hey, you guys, it's supposed to start at 8 o'clock. Well, you know, too bad. You're on fairy time. You could start at 8 o'clock next year. You don't know what's going to happen. It's fairy time. But it's definitely a time that traditionally was used as a means to kind of certainly blow off some of the steam of all of the sort of work going up into that year. It's also a time of blessing. And, you know, usually by now you've got your seeds in the ground. You've got, you know, this, it could be metaphorical seeds of maybe you're starting something new. It could be that you've actually planted your garden and the seeds are starting to sprout out. And so you're starting to see some of the fruits of your labor, and it's a time of celebration. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the fairies will manifest, right? Because they're like, oh yeah, stuff's sprouting. We're here. We're here to, you know, pick the cherries off the tree.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Also, we have June, which the goddess Juno, fertility, right? Mm-hmm. They're dealing with the Romans and stuff like that. But when it comes even into festivals, we always have things that there's always a festival. We have that Samhain festival where they're burning stuff. You have also one that happens during the part of here, big bonfires. And what I looked at is that sometimes they save that ash and they save that for that festival over there to plant or to lay out on their gardens to reinvigorate the soil over the winter time, right? Because you got to think of a lot of pagan traditions went around harvest and food, right? The hunter-gatherer sure. sort of stuff, eh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Things were built around the survival of your group, and the survival of your group depended primarily on food and shelter. And so warmth and heat, and you used the seasons and these kind of high points of the seasons to call upon the entities that were, you know, the forces beyond your control, and implore them to protect you and to bring you good luck and a good harvest, because everything really kind of hinges on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys can say, Barla, I'm going to stop you there for a sec. You know what? Some people may not know about you. So do you want to tell people about you for a sec there? We got right into this.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were like kind of running to catch up. Yeah, sure. My name is Barla Ventura. I'm the author of several books on sort of, you know, paranormal and spooky topics. The most recent ones are Barla Ventura's Paranormal Parlor, and that's a book about seances and spiritualism and kind of the history of hauntings. And then prior to that, my book that came out is called Fairies, Pookas, and Changelings, and it's a guide to the sort of wicked and wild enchanted realm. I've also written on topics like mermaids, banshees, werewolves, vampires, strange trivia. Yeah. So, kind of an array of things there. And, yeah, you can check my books out at my website, which is barlaventura.net. And I'm just, kind of a weirdo and a lover of witchy things and rituals. And I feel like the world of the paranormal, the world of the unexplained, the world of the fairy, the unseen, is just such an infinite, as a storyteller and a writer especially, it's just infinite. You know, you and I love getting in on shows like this, and we share stories. We've heard different versions of the same story, or we know folklore from a particular area. I'm sort of a supernaturalist and a folklorist, and just really, yeah, like to talk about weird things all night long.
Yeah, you're in the right place with us, that's for sure.
Yes.
But so there's other, this is one thing that I didn't even know about, and maybe you did. Actually, this time is called Litha, this solstice time. And the only thing that I found out was that having these bonfires and collecting ash and stuff like that. And I think there was one in the Celtic or old European where they would make a wheel, set it on fire, and roll it down a hill into the water. And this whole thing of fire and water, darkness, that this balance between good and evil, and that whatever symbology that they were thinking there. Because you think a lot of like these hunter-gatherer people, like you just said, dealt with this whole basis of needing food, right? So appeasing these unknown forces that were out there to benefit themselves, hoping that it would sort of work. And then I think about Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream.
Always.
Dealing with fairies time, and it's the midsummer. This is what we're in right now. And playing tricks like, and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, that whole play is basically set in the fairy realm, as the sort of, the, you know, they fall asleep on the fairy mound, and then the queen comes out and the king comes out. And it's really a time of celebration. And it's also, you know, while it is the longest day, and so the light traditionally, at least in the northern hemisphere, right, the light is longer, and it gets dark, you know, there's just a shorter night. There are still some precautions that traditionally you may need to take. You certainly don't just go out and start partying. You have to make sure that you're also making offerings to these unknown beings. And so sometimes you'd be burning that fire. One might argue that it was to keep things away just as much as to honor things. And I think you see, just prior to this, you have Beltane, which is sort of the festival, the May festival. There's basically all these festivals require fire. That's like an essential element. The bigger the fire, the better, right? A big bonfire. You see that on Samhain. You see that in winter solstice, of course. And it is a very symbolic representation of transformation between one world and the next. The smoke kind of shows you the invisible. It brings light. It's a celebration of light. And traditionally also, you know, especially in modern times, just candle lighting and just very simple things that you can do, you know, such as really spending this time. And as you mentioned, we're going into a nice big fat full moon later this week. And it's also Cancer season. So now we're in the astrological sign of Cancer. And that's so full of emotion and heart. Mm-hmm. And then we're kind of coming out of that Mercury retrograde. And we're just like, we can do this. But it's really actually a time of trying to manifest what truly brings you that light. And it's to fortify you. So it could be that, you know, you stay up all night writing. That's something that I always do on the solstice. I try and just stay up trying to do something that I want to do more of in the following year. And it's actually a really simple thing, and it's not too late, you know, all of this week. And as we go into this June, this big, beautiful strawberry moon, you can really, you know, nice, big, juicy moon. You can really kind of put your heart into that. It's a great time to do, you know, love spells and love rituals and just a celebration of things that bring you a lot of pleasure and joy.
Or resin. That's what I never went to bed, and I'm just so hooked on it. I'm making crystal grids and Metatron cube and all that spiritual stuff because I want to do more of that.
Yeah. So you're kind of trying to manifest what you want more of. So traditionally, like in, you know, perhaps traditional Celtic culture, you would definitely want more food, and you would definitely want more protection and more health and safety and well-being. Mm-hmm. But you also have to keep in mind that, as with other holidays like this, when the veil is thin and things are running amok, that you should operate with a degree of caution and reverence for the unknown.
Oh yeah. Getting into the part of the unknown there is that, this is what I found was sort of interesting. Like where we had like the other holidays, like remember those little sausage stealers and stuff like that?
Yeah.
when we get into holidays like around Christmas time, or even Halloween time, harvest time, there seems to be a lot more stories of these little creatures, and they have actually specific purposes, I guess, in their stories and that. And like I said, the part here with the summer solstice, this mostly just fairies talking around there, but there is other creatures that are out there. You can go into the cryptids, things like people are out exploring in the bush, seeing hairy men or Bigfoot. They're seeing these dog men. They're seeing, like, because you're out traveling a lot more, you don't have that impact of winter time in the northern hemisphere that's sort of slowing you down. And the night is not as overbearing as winter time is as well, right? Sort of a little happier.
Yeah, so that's a good point, right? Like maybe the sightings are also increased because you are out there more, and it feels a little safer to be walking in the woods on a, you know, as the sun is setting, because it doesn't go from, you know, light to pitch darkness. Right. And you also have a lot of rituals that surround things like forest creatures or sort of druidic practices that worship the Oak King, or other kind of trees or tree spirits and woodland fairies that are, this is kind of their high season, where you might find other times of the year that you would find, you know, creatures that perhaps dwell a little bit more in caves that come out, but this is a time when you're really, this is kind of the woodland reverence and celebration. And I also think it's a prime time for mermaid sightings. Okay. And perhaps this is because the weather's nicer and people are, you know, hanging near the water more. It's been quite hot where I've been. So everyone's swimming in the lakes, and
the lakes aren't frozen.
Yeah, the lakes aren't frozen over. So I think that there's probably a little bit of just like the natural, the fact that you're closer to the sea, but you do have, especially, I have not done this, but I always thought it'd be really interesting to take, you'd have to do it over a series of years, but to take tides, full moons, and compare those historically and presently to sightings, in particular, like mermaids or other kind of water entities, because we know mm-hmm. that those are so, like, the tides and the moon are so tied together.
Yeah.
And it'd be very interesting to do some kind of like ridiculous graph of like the number of, you know, mermaid sightings that increase during a full moon. But it also is illuminating the sea as well, so it will increase your vision. So to have this, you know, full moon that is so close to the solstice and such a kind of nice counterbalance to this, and it's just, I mean, not to deny that it's also just a big change. I mean, not everyone around the world is able to get out again, and a lot of people are in restrictions, but it definitely, I know for here in where I am, and I'm sure where you guys are, it's like, you know, people here, just as much as you can be outside as possible. And so, to your point, the more you're outside and the more you're kind of roaming through nature, the more likely you are to see, you know, little men roaming about the woods.
I was going to add something quickly. Somebody sent me this from last night. It said at 21 minutes past 9 on the 21st, which was yesterday, it will be the 21st minute of the 21st hour of the 21st day of the 21st week of the 21st year of the 21st century. Talk about powerful energy.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I don't know about you guys, and I'm curious if this is something that could be happening with your listeners as well. But I started noticing quite a few synchronicities lately, kind of very bold synchronicities. And for example, I have like four different tarot decks that I just, you know, I usually just kind of like pull a card. One is a very traditional Rider-Waite. One is based on Dion Fortune's work. One is the Thoth Tarot, which is the Crowley deck. And then one is like an herbal deck, which I like because it always kind of puts me in tune with like, okay, what's the plant medicine here? And I have had, I cannot tell you, probably for the last 2 months, but especially over the last month, so many duplicate cards where I pull from one deck. And one time I had, so three of the four had the same card. And then the next time, three of the four had the same card. And then the next time, two of the four had the same card. And then just the other day, I pulled two cards that they were both, knights, and they were both on horses, but they're different decks. And the way that the decks, when I flipped it over, it was like the horses were riding toward each other, and one was white and one was black. And I was like, man, this is like, this does not normally happen to me. Normally I pull this menagerie and it confuses me and I have to look it up. Yeah. But this has been happening again. It's like, whatever the message is, it's coming through. And I think that like the 21 and some of the things like that, it's, you know, hopefully it's a sign of real kind of like transformation and change. And I think that's something we can all look forward to.
I know with me, last night, my guest wasn't able to make it on Talk About Retrograde Issues. His internet went out, came right back on after we were done. Sometimes I'll do a replay, and I thought, heck, I know how to do a full show. I used to do a full night. I used to do one Monday through Friday on my other network. So I thought, oh, I'll hang out and just jibber jabber for 2 hours. And I pulled out a deck, and Zach, who's usually in our chats, was there, and he'd asked a question. So I gave him a bunch of information from Spirit, but I usually don't use birth decks. I have the new Supernatural one. I just love it. It's so easy. You don't have to look at the book, because all the characters, if you know them from the series, you know what it represents on the cards. It's pretty cool. But anyways, everything I told them from Spirit came up almost word for word on the cards. It usually does, but it was really, really interesting how it really fulfilled. It was actually an animal card too. It was Diana Cooper's Oracle deck with Archangels and Animals. The bear. And I'm thinking, why the bear? So I went through the book. It was a newer deck. And I had already given him information from looking at the card, and almost word for word, what I gave him was right in the book. It was so cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
We have Michelle Pat from Australia, by the way, too. So thought we'd give her a shout out. She's in the chat.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Hello.
Our mermaid in waiting, you mean?
I don't know, Deli, what do you think? I know you don't do cards, but have you been finding a lot of synchronicities?
Well, that's sort of interesting there too, in that you had these riders. They had the pale horse and the dark horse, right? And that, if you think about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and then if you think about, there's been a lot of theories on what's going on in the world, that we're coming closer to this end time that talked about in Revelations, right? They got the pale horse. I can't remember what the pale horse does. I know what the dark horse is. Dark horse is death. The pale horse, I think it might be pestilence or something like that. That'd almost be sort of
similar. Well, that's ringing true.
Yeah, it's that coincidence is, I don't know, there's a lot of theories on that, that some things, there is no coincidences, things that are also set in sort of a pattern. That's sort of a really sort of a dark thought, that there is no sort of free will, right?
I call it evidential proof. I believe there are no coincidences either, but when something falls into alignment, like what you've just shared, or myself, or everything just seems to fall into place.
And there's certainly times that, I mean, there's signs all around all the time, right? And sometimes we just aren't tuned into them, but sometimes they're just not that significant, or they don't feel that significant. And then other times, like for me with this deck thing, where it just kept happening, like every time, like I would go once a week to this deck and it just kept happening. And that, you know, I mean, there's 78 cards in a deck, right? So like, and what I'm doing is I'm just pulling it when I get the shivers to pull it out, right? It's like, just pull the card when you get the shivers. And there it is. And also I belong to a small writing group. And there have been, like the other day we met and we all brought pieces, and we hadn't met for a month, and we all brought pieces that we had been working on, and it all had a very similar, like there was at least one main detail in each story that connected them all. And we were in awe. We were like, okay, something very important is happening right now. And, you know, we're going to try our best to not ignore it or cross it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's I guess when you're sort of people, a lot of people aren't in tune to anything that's going on besides their own bubble, right? Their own world, their own stuff that's going on. Me and Laura have talked about this many times, that a lot of people live their life in blinders. They're not looking around what's going on there.
Yeah.
When you start noticing stuff like patterns or coincidences, like you can actually drive yourself nuts there. There was that Mel Gibson movie where he was seeing patterns everywhere, numbers and sequences. I think there was also in the movie there too with I can't remember the guy who played Ghost Rider,
Nicolas Cage,
there, where he saw patterns and numbers and that, and coincidences that seemed to line up with events and that. I always find that sort of interesting.
You know what I'd like to ask you, Varlet, have you noticed too that with all this shakeup and everything that's going on, so many people are being awakened to spirituality? Like, I am noticing this. Actually, I'm going to message you about this. I know how crazy busy you are, but I'm going to announce it on here. I'm putting together with a bunch of people that I really respect, and I love their knowledge base and their energy, their personality, such as yourself. We'll see if it'll work out with your schedule. We haven't got a date set. We're going to try and put on a little bit of a conference that's affordable.
Oh, cool.
Everybody know that we'll work it out, but everybody's got a different knowledge base to pull it all in, because I keep getting nonstop questions. But the questions I used to ask years ago about, you know, how do I open my third eye, and how do I hear my guides, and what are chakras, and do crystals really work, and what is astrology, or how do I give a reading? Just the basics. And I think it'd be a beautiful thing to pull people with all different types of knowledge bases to really give people a well-rounded, and kind of like put it up on video, whatever. And I mean, you can do it paper, you know, people can access it when they need to keep access of it, because I'm just getting questions like this nonstop. Are you finding this yourself too?
Well, and the next year we do it in real life, in person.
Yes.
Let's manifest that.
We could have done it in person with you.
Yeah. I know you could. Well, I won't smuggle myself across. But so close. We're so close to each other.
We'll have a big fire there.
Big bonfire. I'll just follow the signals. I'll just follow the signals straight north to your place. Absolutely. And this is something that, like, this is a topic that really really kind of came into my mind a lot during the winter of this, you know, the real heavy winter in the peak of the pandemic. And, you know, I live somewhere where you don't really go outside a ton in the winter, but the, you know, you do gather with friends around the hearth. And that was something that wasn't happening. And so it gives you a lot of time for reflection. And I was really thinking about the spiritualist movement. Mm-hmm. And the spiritualist movement, which is the belief that the dead have messages for us, not just the spirit, but that the dead have messages for us, and that those messages are actually designed to enlighten or expand our minds, which is what, I mean, modern day, new age, or whatever you want to call it, is based on this. And there are practicing spiritualists today. And it was, you know, a movement that was popular in North America and in England from about 1840 to 1930, but it really took off after the American Civil War. Mm-hmm. And you had at that point a nation in mourning. You had a nation torn asunder. You had people who were fighting for rights. You had people who didn't, you know, Juneteenth for 2 years didn't know that they were free. You had people who died in battle and their mothers never knew what happened to them. And so you had this, and then, you know, you had Lincoln's assassination, and you had Mary Todd Lincoln, who had an obsession with her son had died. I think he was 11 years old, their little boy. And so she was conducting seances in the White House trying to connect with the spirit. And you had this sort of movement toward that. And of course, like with any movement, you get your charlatans, you get your naysayers, you get your true believers.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that the other aspect of the pandemic is the is that nation in mourning, is that world in mourning,
yes,
and also the lack of being able to have death rituals, to attend funerals, to say goodbye, or be in that collective healing space with other people that, you know, it doesn't change what has happened, but at least you know that there are, for example, you know, if someone you love dies, but then their children are there at this service, you can see a little bit of your friend in those people, and it gives you some comfort. And there's a collective healing, there's, you know, food rituals, there's all of these things that we do to try and comfort each other. Sometimes we bumble our way through it. And not having that, I think it has made people really have to like look inside and figure out how to process that kind of thing.
Or and not so even that, be able to be there when the person has passed. I've been seeing a lot of that as well. So not only are you not having that ritual, like, I mean, the wake, I've really looked into the Irish wake and the beauty in that, that people may not see, but normalizing death, because whether you want to think it or not, I mean, the collective you, death is a normal part of life, just as birth is.
Yes, yes. And not being able to kind of be there. And actually, that led me down this rabbit hole of thinking about how perhaps when we talk about hauntings and we talk about paranormal, sometimes we think, and of course, popular culture and, you know, horror novels and ghost stories have fed this idea that it's, you know, the Ebenezer or the, you know, the Jacob Marley, the unresolved business on earth. Mm-hmm. But perhaps it's not unresolved business. It's a lack of death ritual. I mean, we know in Egyptian culture, how especially in ancient Egyptian culture, how incredibly important the death ritual was, and how many things people did to prepare loved ones for the other side. And I haven't read a lot of stories of, you know, pharaohs coming back to haunt someone after they've died. So I wonder too, if that feeds the idea that it's not that someone has unrequited business because perhaps they died a violent death. I mean, I don't know, because this is all paranormal and I'm speculating about the unknown, but the idea that it's really the process of dying and dying alone and not having that sort of shamanistic element of letting go, not that it has to be a shaman, but to have, you know, to be holding the hand. And Lorelai, as a retired nurse, right? Like, you know, that the rhythm of birth and death is very
Very yeah. important. I always say I've been blessed so many hundreds of times to be there at the beginning of life working in the NICU. And then part of it is when I worked in the community, I didn't get paid for it, but I really bonded with my families in my areas. So they would have my phone number. And a family member, I felt so honored to be there hundreds of times at the end of somebody's life, because families, the person that was going through the process would choose to die at home and they needed the support. And so, yeah. You know, as it got closer, and there's always signs when it's getting close, yeah. and the family would call like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go out and be there with them as they passed. I, at that time, I wasn't allowed to pronounce, but it's pretty evident when somebody has passed, and then you mm-hmm. just call the mm-hmm. doctor in to come and pronounce at home. But the thing is, yeah, exactly. There's a whole process, okay. and people get a lot of support because death is very scary.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're a death doula. Mm-hmm. You're a death doula in that situation.
They're okay, birth doulas and they're death doulas. Interrupt you a little bit here. Okay. I have to disappear here for a bit. You guys can continue on the delicious recipe and let Laura Lee take over my co-host here. I got to go to work. We start a little bit late here today.
Oh, Del.
I know. This is so sad. The working man. Now Laura Lee gets to steal you all for herself there. So I just want to say before I go, thank you very much, Varla, for showing up here and being so yeah. patient with such a late start yeah. there.
Of
and
course.
I will talk to you later after I'm done, and I will send you a link for everything. This is the worst I've ever done, and this is my own show. I'm leaving my own show.
It's okay. You're in good hands.
Okie dokie. I'll let you guys continue yeah. on there, and thank you very much for being so patient there with everything that happened there tonight.
No problem.
And I'll be in touch with you. What's that? Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So no, but I sometimes he just started this job. So sometimes he goes in at 11, sometimes it's at 10. And of course tonight it probably was right at 10 o'clock, right?
Yeah, right.
That means like, you have to go. So, cause I know you couldn't stay for.
Yeah. Well, we can do we started late, so we can do the hour as we normally would do. And I actually am not sure exactly what time we started, but let's just do our normal thing here. And
Because we're not doing the show right now. It's kind of on hiatus, the one that I usually do afterwards anyway. So I get to hang out with you. You should get a word in edgewise with Del.
Well, he's always got so many interesting questions that he's, you know, got. But yeah, we had a late start. So yeah.
Well, I always did the paranormal stuff and he didn't. And then as he started doing this podcast, and originally it was just, I like to call it truth seeking, not conspiracy theory, but people recognize conspiracy theory. And now as he's met you and other people, he's really developed an interest because, as I always say, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, the more I open this door, the more smaller than a one-celled organism I feel when it comes to the amount of knowledge. What's your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, let me tell you, I did a whole book on fairies.
I love it.
And no sooner did I publish that book than I learned about, you know, 10,000 other creatures, including all of those incredible Icelandic sausage stealing trolls. And honestly, I first came upon those at at my son's school. One of their projects was to research like a holiday, and he chose Halloween, but he chose Halloween candy. I was still pretty proud. But I walked around and there were a bunch of fifth graders basically who had all this interesting folklore because they chose a holiday, and some of them chose Christmas and some of them chose solstice. And so they chose all different kinds of holidays. So it was pretty interesting. And so it's and then again, it's the unknown. And so one thing that is consistent is you will gather more and more and more evidence as you go. And I love listening to other people's stories. You know, I love hearing people's stories of their encounters or the things that they don't completely understand. And I think that I know that there are several younger people in my life, like my nieces and nephews, that are at of this generation, they're just now, you know, becoming adults, and they are so in tune with magic, and they're in tune with politics. They're in tune with the world in general, but not in a way that I think when I was that age, I felt overwhelmed by it because it felt like insurmountable. And they have this kind of like calmness and strength that I, you know, I've never seen that before in kids that young. Mm-hmm. And not to like say, okay, well, the kids are all going to save us, but I feel like there's a greater understanding and an open-mindedness that is there, and that at their core, there's an open-mindedness to different ways of life, different ways of thinking, different philosophies, where I think even 10, 20 years ago, that wasn't always the way that children thought at that age.
Agreed, because my eldest, he just moved back to the city, him and his partner, and they bought their first home. But and we've talked about this on my show and Del's show with you before, that usually when you've got somebody in the family that's got gifts, usually you tend to see it in your children. Or maybe it's, I don't know if it's because we're more aware of it or what, but both my children, well, they're not children, they're adults now, but they communicate with animals. My eldest never embraced his gifts. He did, and then he'd say, no, you know what, this is like more of a curse than anything kind of thing. Now he's embraced. I knew he would. Now he's starting to do readings online. We're actually going to start doing some together.
Oh, cool.
I almost say, like, I really hate the labels that people give that generation, millennials and all these negative things, because to me, it's almost like a new breed of human being, if you will, because I've never seen kids with so much anxiety, depression. And this isn't a negative thing. Where I'm going with this is, you're right, I have to agree with you, very intuitive, open-minded. I really believe a lot of these kids are really empathic, so they're a lot of these emotions they're picking up.
Yeah.
You know? So I have to agree with you. I think we're in great hands. And
sensitives, and so our job, whether we're their mothers or we are their mentors or we're just generally just being adults, you know, is just to just kind of encourage and keep that going. And I think there's just a there's a natural strength there that I haven't seen before. And it's a very like accepting generation. And so it's exciting to see that. I also don't like the labels of like, I mean, I love the word psychic and I love the word medium, but I think that there are some people who really kind of, they don't resonate with those. Like, they don't like that label. Like, someone's a psychic, that sounds like someone you call a hotline.
Yes.
You know, in the middle of the night when you're desperate and ask for,
it's recognizable, what? Right? So that's
why
you call yourself a supernaturalist. I like that.
Supernaturalist. And you know, I just read something earlier today. Actually, a friend of mine is visiting with her daughter. They're kind of around town and they're visiting relatives, and her daughter just graduated from high school. And my gift to her is a tarot reading, not by me, because I feel like I'm a little too close to her to do like a really accurate reading. So I was booking a reading at my local little witch shop here. And I was kind of reading there. They had all this really interesting way of just kind of describing their different practitioners. One of the things they were talking about is that, you know, the difference between psychics and mediumship, and that, you know, that all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics necessarily identify as mediums.
Right.
So, and not like for myself, I certainly work in the psychic arts. I have psychic intuition, but I don't consider myself a medium. I don't offer those services to other people. I don't really offer like, and I am approached pretty frequently, especially because I'm on, you know, shows where people are mediums, and all people will kind of write to me for like advice, and it's like, I don't really do advice. You know, I'm happy to pull a card for you if that's helpful, but like, basically I'm not a medium and I've never really trained to be a medium. So I'm not feeling, you know, I don't really I don't really do that.
I have to agree with you. I feel so bad. We're on StreamYard. Guys, and over in Facebook, if you can, come on over to the UFO Paranormal Radio chat. I didn't see you there. There's a whole bunch of people over there. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, hi.
Mike Walker, we got Ida Kitely. She had to run, but she popped in. So come on over here, you guys, because I can see the chat because I can't even answer you over there. No, I get that
question. You can't answer on the chat.
No, because Joe runs the StreamYard, so I can't answer on the stream. I can see all the streams.
Gotcha.
On there. So I've got YouTube on. If you see me looking down, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I just happened to look at, oh crap, we missed a bunch of people. But what I have to agree with you, I get that question quite a bit. You know, I'll have people say to me, and actually I asked it many years ago when I was working with a mentor out of Los Angeles with my mediumship abilities. And the big one is, well, when do I know I can call myself a psychic or a healer or a medium? So I have to agree with you that there are many people I have met that are mediums that don't necessarily, their strong suit isn't the intuitive psychic abilities. So you can have someone like myself that's a psychic medium, and then you have mediums that don't necessarily use psychic ability, or psychics that don't access or aren't using the mediumistic ability. Because I believe,
or people who need specific tools, right? Or like use specific tools. So tarot cards or oracle cards or spirit boards or crystal grid, or like, you know, there's a lot of different tools at our disposal. And I think different people just really kind of resonate with the different things. One of the offerings that I had never heard of this, I was wondering if you'd ever heard of it. And I actually, my mom is visiting me later. Everyone's visiting me because my son's, I know, but my son's too, he's not vaccinated. It's a little too, I'm not comfortable with him traveling yet. And it's been over 2 years since anyone's seen him. And so my mom and sister are coming here today. And one of the things I booked for my mom, and hopefully she's not listening right now because it'll spoil the surprise. Yeah. But I had to do it because I had never heard of it. And she's really into the fairy realm, but it was fairy Reiki.
What's that?
Fairy Reiki.
I think I have heard of it. Yeah.
I had never heard of it. There was a guy at this shop nearby me, and he does tarot readings. And I've run into him before, and I really liked him. Mm-hmm. And I thought, fairy Reiki. And so they basically do this kind of like healing session on your body using Reiki, which is, you know, I'm familiar with Reiki, energy. But fairy spirits come out. The energy work, but specific fairy spirits come out. So, so we'll see what happens with that. But I just thought, well, that's pretty interesting. I'll let my mom be the,
I think that's
the guinea pig for it.
I got off track here for a sec, but I did want to answer though. When people ask me, when can I call myself a psychic or a medium? You know what? I think that there's so much power in our words, our emotions, and our thoughts. So when we identify with that energy, so you've got to do some study or have some ability. I mean, you can't just, like you say, yeah, I'm a psychic. So, because I call myself a psychic, I'm a psychic. But if you've really been, you know, honing in on your gifts, maybe doing some study, that as we start to call ourselves that and start to work within that energy, you start to own it. Like I had somebody that was obviously a medium, obviously, like going to the graveyard or cemetery three times a week and helping spirits cross over, having conversations and asking me, well, when can I call myself a medium? And I said, well, how more would you be embodied? Yeah,
what more do you need?
You know, that's where I'm going with this, is embracing it when you're obvious, you know, it's obvious and you're working in that energy. I wanted to go there with the fairies though.
Yeah. Well, wait, but just on that note. So I just had a really interesting conversation with a friend of mine my friend Sarah, and she's very open to things, and she likes to talk with or occasionally consult psychics or life coaches to just kind of like, you know, check in with her on her path. And she told me this great story where the other week she was kind of at a crossroads. And so she had booked this session and she gets in the session, and instead of the person doing what they normally do, which is like, okay, I want you to, you know, clear your mind, and we're going to start, we, you know, set your intention and all this kind of like process where they, where she was going to, you know, typically get some answers. Yeah. This woman just starts asking her questions. Yeah. And Sarah's like, why are you asking me these questions? This is really like, I don't get this. And then the person said, I'm going to ask you several things right now. Mm-hmm. Because she's talking to her and she's like, well, you know, you're going to need to do some work and, you know, then you'll start hearing spirit. And my friend Sarah said, I'm sorry, but I've been like, spirit's been talking to me for like 7 years. I've heard spirit talk to me. Mm-hmm. So the woman said, oh, really? Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting. So I'm going to let me ask you a couple of things. And she, and the great thing is my friend was like kind of annoyed, right? Because she was wanting this session to go a certain way.
Yeah.
And so the woman asked her a couple of questions and she starts asking her for specific details about things.
Yeah.
And Sarah just answered. She says, I don't even know what to do here. And the woman says, just describe what's going on in your body. Yeah. So she says, she gives Sarah a name. And what do you feel when I give you this name? And she says, well, you know, my hands are tingling and I'm really cold. And then the next name she says, okay, well, let me give you this name. And anyway, Sarah ends up describing where this missing person's body had been found.
Wow.
And not knowing anything about the details of the case and her, so in the end, of course, the woman who she was doing the session with, her point was, because she does a lot of work with the local police, yeah. She said, you know, if I'm burnt out and I can't get anything, I'm going to call you. And her point, right. And her point was you already have everything you need. You yeah. already have this gift. You are already able to answer your own questions. It's difficult to remove oneself from mm-hmm. one's life. But she said, I have no idea what to do. So she just went with what was in her gut, which was, you know, water, a meadow, like whatever the things were. And it just, it ended up being one of the most incredible stories I've heard because it was a person describing her almost reluctant awakening.
Yes.
Into this realm. I said, well, maybe, you know, maybe this is your calling in some way, right? Mm-hmm. So she's always been very intuitive and very frank, but this was something else. And that is something that I think comes with just, it was almost as if someone put a key into a lock and yeah. unlocked it. And for those of us who are sensitive or intuitive, we need something in our lives to unlock it. Sometimes we can do it ourselves. Sometimes it can be a relative.
Living in a scary haunted house.
Like, crazy experience that you're trying to make heads or tails. Yeah. And like for me, I think I grew up with a mother who was very, very, very open to these things yeah. and actually helped me unlock this sort of attitude and ability at a young age.
Yeah.
So that it became an intrinsic part of my life. And I used to actually do a little more work on that. For example, I would just think of someone and sort of, I would find an object that they had given me and I would hold it and, you know, they'd call.
Yeah.
So I don't do that as much anymore, but I still feel those coincidences and synchronicities
yeah.
coming about as a result of that. And that's, you know, that's all part of the fairy. That's all part of the fairy realm.
It is. I want to give a shout out to Judy Thompson. She's over on Facebook. Judy, come join us.
Hi,
on
Judy.
The Paranormal Network, a radio YouTube channel. I think I put the link there because I was posting while you and Del were talking.
Uh-huh. Good, and, good.
That's why people are popping in. No, I didn't get a chance to tell you because I know you know this probably, but Del is, I even said to him a couple months ago, I would have thought hell would have froze over if I'd ever believed in all these years that I'd be having a conversation with you about fairies. Because he's into the little people right
yeah,
now. Right?
He's really into them too. Yeah. He's like in it. He's invested. Obsessed.
Yeah. So I did a whole garden. I'll have to send you a picture because I'm doing a whole bunch of homemade stuff. So I'm doing these little fairy houses and making little resin doors. Oh, here he is. He's back. He hasn't left yet. We're talking about you.
I know. Talked to him.
Okay. Talk to you later. No, he's leaving. Don't turn the light off. Yeah, so I make it. So I did all these fairy things. I have little fairy houses, and I've done little resin fairies. And
oh, cool.
I've also known little tiny gnomes.
I love gnomes. I just love gnomes.
I know. Well, remember all the
beards? Gnomes? I just, yeah, I'm into it.
Well, you didn't see his guy that I made for his show. He might have shown you last time, because I make gnomes, like with the fur beards. And
I'm a rocker dude.
So he's got little skull glasses.
Actually, I think he sent me a picture of it. I don't know if he held it up on camera. I think he sent me a picture of it.
I don't know why he calls them you. So I just got yesterday resin molds to make electric guitars. So I'm going to make little electric guitars.
Cute.
That looks like ZZ Top. But back to this. So this is a perfect time for people to access fairy energy. And a lot of people are going, fairies are just make-believe, blah, blah, blah. What can we tell them that we know that we both know they're not make-believe?
Well, we definitely want to talk a little bit about the fairy kingdom, and that the fairy kingdom isn't just one kind of thing. It doesn't just mean that little creature with the wings that goes, you know, from flower to flower. The fairy kingdom, I like to think of it the way that one might think of the plant kingdom.
Yeah.
So there are all these different kind of species within that. And you have tall things and things that live under bridges and water fairies and woodland fairies and little things that live in your garden and things that protect your stoop and things that live in your barn. So there's just this vast array. And it's certainly, I know I can give you a personal experience with the fairies. Yes. That when I was working on the fairy book that I was writing, just when I thought I had everything good to go, and a few things had gone missing in my house around that time. And I just thought, okay, I am just so obsessed with trying to get this book done in this deadline that it is, you know, I'm not paying attention. I kept telling myself that, because even as a believer, I was completely just skeptical, like, and oblivious.
Why would they come to my house while I'm writing a book?
Yeah, like I just, yeah, I'm just like, oh, okay, I guess I don't know what I did with that shiny object or that one earring.
Yeah.
And so I swear I left it right there. So I had a whole chapter, and the chapter was about, oh, it was about hobgoblins, and it was about some of the trickster fairies. And let me tell you, I lost the entire chapter. I don't know what I did. I don't know if I thought, well, maybe I just copy and paste it, but I couldn't reverse it. I tried all my tricks, all my, you know, 20 years of working in Microsoft Word, every trick I could think of. I called everyone that I knew. Is there anything I can do to see an older version? And we couldn't find this chapter. And in the end, I was 2 days away from my deadline and I had to rewrite it. And I thought, that is perfect, because here I am writing this book and I'm getting so obsessed with the deadline and all of these things that I am missing the point. I'm missing the point. And so the fairy kingdom is full of things that like to pull the rug out under you. And I think that's a great reminder for this time of year, and with the, you know, we had chaos, and last week we were trying to connect and we had chaos around that. And so I think that's the really important thing, is that, you know, they'll pull the rug out from under you, but they catch you.
Yes.
Fairies are not pushing you off the cliff, mm-hmm. but they might drive you to the point where you're thinking, like, I'm real close to the cliff right
now. I've got to tow over.
So they're not. And I think the other thing about the fairy realm that gets confused and lost in translation, especially in like the modern lexicon, is the good versus evil aspect of it, because there's all of these subtleties, and mischief and mayhem is not necessarily the devil, but it is now associated with the devil, just as witches became associated with the devil. So you have, you know, this world of kind of like trickery and revelry, and also abundance and gifts and
magic.
It's in magic. And that is also what the natural world is about, right? There are plants that you can eat and they're going to make you feel real good. And there are plants that you can eat and they are going to knock you dead. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, and then there's a plant growing right next to it that's going to cure you. So there's just this kind of constant element of surprise. And so we need to just kind of remember that with the fairy kingdom, we're not just talking about something that is going to pollinate your plants. We're talking about this vast world that on nights like the solstice and the full moons and all of the kind of high holidays, we've got a chance to honor them. But, you know, they can create, they can create chaos, and
with them and respect them. I want to read this comment, a couple comments here, because
I tried to get over to the YouTube myself, and then I thought, you know, the last time I did that, I was on someone else's show, and I tried to go over to the YouTube, and I accidentally logged out of StreamYard. So I was like, no, I'm not doing this.
So we got Judy. Well, this is from Facebook. Judy Thompson said, I told my granddaughters that the fairies live in Nana's garden. That's beautiful. We've got Banana Bowie over on Facebook. That's a new person. Welcome. And they said, hey, now I know what show that's from. Larry Sanders show. And then actually Michelle from Australia, this is interesting. I haven't got glasses, they're right here. Good, now I can see.
Oh wait, I just figured out that I can see the comments.
Yeah,
wow. I'm sorry it took me so long to figure that out, because I knew that and I just didn't even look, comments.
Okay, so Michelle says, Mimi's fairy-like beings of Arnhem Land. Interesting. Do you know anything about that at all?
Fairy-like beings of Arnhem Land, that doesn't sound familiar to me. I'm not
in Australia though, so she may
have she's in Australia. And also winter solstice, right? It's winter solstice there, so happy, we can say happy solstice. Yes. And be more encompassing. Well, but
can even talk about
it. Yeah, Australia.
Australia, maybe she can tell us more about Mimi's, because neither of us have really heard of them.
Mimi's, yeah.
What about the
I haven't heard of this
talked about, because remember all the videos I sent you folks, if you haven't seen them, check him out on Facebook.
One of those videos you sent was particularly compelling. Well, there were a couple that were really compelling. And then there one of them was like the security cam footage where all these tiny little things just were like flitting all in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. And you know, you could like think, okay, well, I guess that could be a bug, it could be a fire. There's a lot of things it could be, but there was just something about the way they were appearing that was just very like, what is that? And then the other one that was kind of freaky, I think you sent me, was the one where the dad in the garden. Yes,
that's what I was gonna say. That one blows my mind.
Yeah.
Yes.
That one was crazy. So that one's like there's a dad in the garden. And he's hanging out with his kids, and he's actually filming his kids just kind of like running around the garden doing something silly.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, there's just this thing that comes darting toward them.
Goes, what is that? What is that? And his dad goes, what? And his sisters are going, what? What? He goes, up there, dad. And he films up that thing. What is that? Like, do you know what kind of fairy that might even be?
I don't even know what that was. I mean, I watched it a few times thinking like, okay, it's always hard with videos, right? Because you're like, is it Photoshopped? Is it? Mm-hmm. But this one was particularly like realistic. And there is actually this kind of insect I saw an image of recently that has like these long dangling legs and is kind of disturbing, but this thing looks quite fleshy and it just looked like it was probably like a tree fairy or that's some kind of like garden
tree, yeah, spirit or tree elemental, or
yeah,
because it was very natural, like almost the color of the tree bark in a way.
Yes, but yes, yes. It like almost, you couldn't even, it was like camouflage. It was totally crazy and freaky. You know, I've never seen anything quite like that.
I haven't seen cool stuff because Reddit is the awesomest place to find weird, strange, crazy stuff.
Yeah, because people like, they go on there like late at night and they're like, no one believes me, but I saw this. And you're like,
one for fairies that I'm signed up with, and it's been particularly active, surprise, surprise, where we are right now in the month, of people that have those Nest cameras. Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's definitely, I have a friend, actually a different friend, who has been having a lot of paranormal activity in her house. Okay. And she put up some nest cams, and she's definitely caught some strange things. She's also had, she's pretty dang intuitive and psychic. And she's had a couple times where she has felt the presence of something so strong, and she'll just grab her phone and take pictures, but she can't see anything. Mm-hmm. And then she'll like send me the pictures, and there's this crazy wispy thing that was not there by the naked eye, but that occurred at the same time she was having this kind of experience where she, you know, she felt like she couldn't move, or her she felt very heavy or that kind of thing. So, and it feels, and we were talking about if that sort of thing has increased during the pandemic, because maybe people are just like things, there's less, just in a way, there's less distractions. I mean, there's all this stuff going through our minds, but there's not as, you know, certainly for a good period of time there, people weren't hopping in their cars and commuting right. and listening to their podcasts and, you know, zooming around. They were just kind of like doing, you know,
there was a theory why this is happening. And knowing what I know about the paranormal, and I know you're well-versed, collectively on this planet, we have never seen so much depression, mm-hmm. anger, fear, all these lower vibrational energies. And as I've explained it to my youngest son that has severe autism, he still understands about all this stuff, because I explained that's food. That's food to something negative. And because Earth is a place of duality, we have light, we have dark, we have cold, we have hot, right? And as spirit's always shown me, on the other side, we all look like little pinpricks of light. They don't need names. They communicate telepathically, and they know each other by energy. But with that being said, right, people that are in tune with their abilities, I believe everybody has these, but those that are really working with them, it almost looks like a bonfire or one of those signs when you're driving along the highway, vacancy or whatever, you know, the hotel sign, they can see that, right? The positive, but not just the positive, the negative can also see it. Mm-hmm. So I think getting a real onslaught, people are self-medicating with what's going on, that also lowers your ability to keep out anything that.
Yeah. So it lowers your defenses, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely.
It's right for the picking right now. And I'm not religious. I always say I was raised Roman Catholic, but I really do believe there is a battle of light and dark going on right now. I really, really do.
Yeah. Well, and you've seen just even like politically a lot of polarity, and that's usually like the kind of like most public manifestation of that even a non-believer can see that contrast and may find themselves on one end or the other, but there's still like this really like that extreme polarization. And I think with that comes just, you know, it can certainly open the floodgates. And I also think that people are just like, emotions are high. Mm-hmm. Emotions are high because people are wondering what is, you know, what's going to happen in a month? What's going to happen in 6 months? I think we all clung to this idea that things were going to get back to normal, but there's no just like rip the band-aid off and there you are. I mean, you can pretend that that's the case.
Yeah.
And that might be the case in your immediate community, but it's not the reality. It's not the reality of what's happening in the world. You know, there's a pandemic that's running rampant and it's increasing in some places. And so there's this idea of like, okay, well, you know, we're going to be able, it's going to be normal. And we can just like take our vacation and it'll be fine. And to a certain degree, you know, compared to last year, that is the case for many of us.
Where you live, because
it depends on where you live. Yeah.
Like I've been saying, since this conversation with Joe, who's our producer and owner of UPR, and I'll give him a quick shout out. Thanks, Joe.
Hey, we're Joe.
A little bit older, over.
I love you, Joe. Because and he produces so many wonderful shows too. I've been on a couple of other shows on this network, and yeah,
he's a successful construction business all day long. I always say to him, I don't know how he does what he does.
No,
because he makes our job easy. We just get to sit and chat. We don't have to worry about all the hard
stuff. Just send us the link.
But you know, I was having this conversation with him last night, and I have to remind a lot of most of my friends are in the U.S. and things are looking up in the U.S. depending on where you are. Things are more progress. But for example, in Ontario, where we are, right after Easter, they locked us down more severely than we have ever been locked down. You couldn't even buy baby items. Like, you were only allowed to buy food and minor prescriptions, and food was even hard to get. That was it. We were locked down until, I want to say, about 4 or 5 days ago. So I went out.
Yeah, that's gnarly.
Well, no, but that's happening all over the world. So, yeah. For example, with Michael's, I went there to go get some crafting stuff. A trip that should have taken me 15, 20 minutes took me 2.5 hours. Winners and Marshalls. Winners is just the Canadian version of Marshalls or TJ Maxx. Uh-huh. It lined up all the way down, across the front of the building, down the back, and all the way. It was a conglomeration of Black Friday and boxing.
Wow.
It was great.
Well, and I've got some friends in Italy who are just now getting their vaccination. When I was actually able to qualify at that point, when the age in the United States was basically like lowered to, you know, under, I think it was like anyone 16 and up. At that point in Italy, the only people who had had vaccinations, at least according to my friend and where she was living, were like 80 year olds and up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's totally different depending on, and in, you know, if you are in India or South America, you're facing something very different. So I guess my point being, not trying to be a doomsday or whatever, but the point is that we have this idea that we were just going to like reach a point, and we've been telling ourselves all along, we're just going to return to normal. You know, we're going to return to normal. And the reality is that there's a whole new way of living and looking at the world that is what we need to return to and adjust to. And it's not just a simple, you know, like anything, it's not gradual and it's not linear and it's not black and white. Mm-hmm. It's really not. And, you know, it's certainly not something that you can just say like, okay, well, as of this date, I can do this. You know, because we also know that, again, the rug could be pulled out from under us at any given moment.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So
before we end off here, because I promise I wouldn't keep you longer than we might go a little bit, 5 minutes.
That's okay.
I see Joe's in here commenting. So he's sitting there waiting. When are you ladies going to finish? But we started late, Joe. So we're almost done.
Yeah.
I'll ask you before we head out of here. And of course, before we end, I'll always let people know where to find you. But how can people work with this fairy energy for people, or, you know, this change in season? Because it's more positive, like you said, kind of touchy feely, lots of emotion.
Yeah. I definitely think it's more of the like sort of, yeah, it's the lighter side of things. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And as a lover of the darkness, I still appreciate that the lightness, you can't have the darkness. Some people say you can't have the light without the dark. Mm-hmm. I like to say you can't have the dark without the light. So one thing I think that's super important right now is to just, the absolute most simple thing you can do is bring a little fire into your world. So some way of having some reverence of the sun. And that is what the solstice is about, right? This like high time where the days are longest. So that can be a simple candle. And one of my tricks is actually, and I started doing this when I used to live in an apartment building where, you know, if you fried an egg, the entire building's, the sprinkler system went off.
Wow.
I use, so this is my quick spell trick for anyone out there, but I use birthday candles because we all know birthday candles burn down super quick. And you all probably have some in your cupboard left over, and they come in an array of colors, so you can use something. I like to use, like this time of year, something yellow because it kind of is awakening the creativity.
Yeah.
Or something white because you're kind of, so a little bit of lightness and brightness in that way. And honestly, you know, that's like a 1 minute spell. You burn it all the way down. And if you can, you know, if you were in a place where you can have a big old bonfire, that's great too. Yeah. But I know that a lot of people live in environments in which either it's unsafe or impossible to have a bonfire. But then the other really great thing that you can do this time of year is, you know, because it is sort of about the natural world and the growing, is to, you know, you can get some flowers at the store, or you can just kind of pick something in your garden and just bring some of that, like the natural world, into your environment in some way. And then finally, again, because as we are kind of also approaching this full moon, and think of the full moon as the time when, you know, things are building up and they're getting fuller, as we said, it's that big, nice, big, juicy moon. So it can be a time of abundance in thought and creativity. So you can do something. I mean, I read this great tip that was just like one of the best ways to celebrate this time of year, mm-hmm. is to really do something that you love. Yeah. So whatever that could be, you know, if you're just, you just set aside some time and say, you know, I'm going to spend an hour writing,
oh,
or I'm going to
sleep like I did last night. I was
sample night. Why sleep? There's just so much light out there. It was impossible. And so, but that's, you know, those are just simple things you can do, and you can connect with that kind of that fairy realm by just, I mean, if you can take a walk somewhere, it can be a park, it can be an urban park, it can be, you know, the woods, you just, you're listening for those sounds. I know where I live and probably where you live, one of the signs of summer here are the call, the loon call. You can, when you start hearing the loons, and you can hear the loon
out at the camp.
And it's like loon o'clock. You hear them in the morning at a certain time, and you hear them in the evening at a certain time, and they just have this lovely little trill. And it's like, okay, it's loon 30. And those are just those kind of things. You just can kind of pay attention to the things that are, you know, happening in the natural world around you, and try and tune your day to the rhythm of those somehow. And the, you know, fairies, you know, they just like to mess with time. So you're not going to win there, and you know, you're not going to fight. You're not going to fight it. But yeah, definitely simple things. Birthday candles. That's my, my magic pack.
I think that's so cool bringing it, because you know what? I think what it's all about with life is kind of working with what you're given and just being open to change. That's a hard thing for human beings, myself included at times, but
sure. Me too. Definitely.
Release it. I think fairies remind us that we can't control. We really aren't.
Exactly. They are the mayhem. They are that natural chaos, and they are a reminder of that.
So where can people find your wonderful self? I need to have you all to myself in a show, but I know it'll happen.
Well, it'll happen for sure.
I've known Farlah for quite a few years. I've had her when I was on my other network.
Yeah.
And Del was watching, and he was being very impatient. He came up here and he just
Right. He just burst on scene one time. He just burst on scene. Was like, what's happening? I can't help it. I have to ask you a question. That was great. Yeah. So you can find me at varlaventura.net. And there you will find information about the different books that I've written, if I'm appearing anywhere. And also, I have a little shop there, and I'm actually working on a few new items to add. But you can put like, oh, here, wait, I have a, I can plug for anyone who's watching and not just listening, but you can get an all-nighter ball cap. I think you need one of these because you just pulled an all-nighter, and a few other kind of like fun freaky things, like if you have a baby in your life, you can buy a changeling onesie.
Oh, you did. And those.
I made those, and I have a couple of other ideas. I'm probably gonna, like, speaking of doing things that you love, is I've had stuff on the back burner, and I've actually got a little time in my schedule this week to kind of work on some of those designs and things. So
because we were talking about that last show, and I said, what an awesome, it was a onesie we were talking about.
It's a little baby onesie, and it just says changeling across it, and it's like hilarious and adorable and perfect for the goth in your life, you know.
Well, I'm so glad you came on here. Thank you so much for making time. Like I said, I'll be in touch, and then we can have you on for 2 hours, because honestly, guys, Varla is a wealth of knowledge. Pick up her books. She is absolutely delightful. And we had somebody from Thunder Bay, Judy, watching. And Judy, she lives really close to us across the border. Yeah. We're going to have to sneak her across some way.
Well, and I know, and before you know it, it's going to be Halloween season, so we can do something real fun around that. So,
yeah, because we do have Varla on at least 4 times a year. Del set this up, and I think I was glad, actually, because we were talking about this just before we get off air. I said, Del jacks all my good guests. Thank you. I hope you enjoy all your family visiting. You have a beautiful summer. I'll be in touch with you.
Thank you. Yeah. We'll talk soon. And thank you so much. You guys are always delightful hosts. It's really fun to get to talk to you, and happy solstice to everyone listening. And
And thank you.
Stay spooky.
Everybody. this in the chat. I will remind you quickly. Dell's looking for stories about things like little people, Bigfoot, things like that. You can write to thedeliciousstories@gmail.com. There is no time limit on that because somebody asked us. When he has enough stories, he'd like to do a show every now and then and share people's stories. He'll keep your anonymity if you like. For myself, you can get a hold of me on facebook.com/theangelrock if you want to book a reading. I do mentoring services. I do crystal Reiki and healing, Akashic records. And I have my own show. I should plug that. Yes. On Monday nights, it's the Angel Rock from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I have a friend by the name, not a friend, a new friend to be, I guess, Augie Heal. I believe he's in Singapore. And I think we're talking about near-death experiences next week.
Ooh, that sounds great. Yes. I'll sit in for that one. Yeah.
I send you guys all so much love and light. Thank you to Dell for letting me take over as he went to work. And we'll see you tomorrow night here on the paranormal host, the centralist political host chat is going to be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central, 7 to 9 Central, Eastern. We usually have that on Fridays, but it's going to be tomorrow night instead. So you'll see Dell and I with Joe and probably Michael Angley discussing all the crazy politics in the G7 conference and stuff. So we will see you guys tomorrow, I guess.
Here we are in the writers and illustrators of the Feature Lounge at the Author Services Building in Hollywood. It contains a gallery of the writer and illustrator judges, a selection of the awards the contests have received, a library containing novels and art books published by winners and judges, and a selection of photos of some of our beloved keynote speakers and guests. For nearly four decades, L. Ron Hubbard's Writers of the Feature Contest has discovered and nurtured a steady stream of new authors and artists who have changed the face of science fiction. Chosen by an impressive panel of judges, drawn from the biggest names in the genre, contest winners are given the best possible foundation for a long-standing career. Now in its third year, the Writers and Illustrators of the Future podcast continues to provide advice and tips from contest judges, industry professionals, and contest winners for writers and artists wanting to take their next step, along with needed inspiration to keep on going. If you are already a regular listener of this podcast, I thank you. If you are new to it, I welcome you to the weekly installment of the Writers and Illustrators of the Future podcast. This is John Goodwin, your host.